Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
When Neil Armstrong first uttered those now famous words, "One small step for man and one giant leap for mankind," he was making a statement that spoke for the globe. He was making a statement for everyone who was alive at the time. It was a mission from America around a big vision. But it was a mission from America around a big vision that was meant to have an impact upon the world for good. I felt this again this last week in Honduras when visiting with people, and on their TV screen was retelling of the story of the landing on the moon in Central America, Honduras. Recognizing that what happened half a century ago was still impacting our world today. God came on the great mission of Jesus Christ. God came as his very self into a world in a Messiah mission. That he came as a Jew, but he came as the universal Savior. He came in the country of Israel, but he came for all humanity. In this larger vision and application of what Jesus wanted to be made known, he was making known that his presence not only was for that time in which the gospel was written, but for our time in the day in which we live. For the God who created is the sustainable, living, dynamic presence of the fire of the Holy Spirit who is with us now. Which is why we have stepped into this emphasis out of the scripture and out of the life of the church and the work of the Spirit in July and August with our song and our message coming together to highlight there is this next dimension of God that we must all know, that the richness of a faith in Christ is only empowered when we yield ourselves to this full presence of God. And so as we step into the what I call the Holy of Holy passages in the Gospel of John, the Holy of Holy of the Scriptures of John 13 through 17, Jesus is in a long conversation with his friends, his disciples, the apostles. In this long conversation, he's talking about the Last Supper. He's talking about his coming death and resurrection. He's talking about the fullness of the Spirit of God that was part of creation, but now will have another dynamic role to play upon his resurrection. And the dynamic role is that the Spirit will be the resurrected witness of Jesus into the world. So in John 16, verses 13 through 15, Jesus lays out these words in which he is saying, "When you think of me, the Spirit will be there wanting to teach you. The Spirit of truth comes to guide you. The Spirit comes to be able to tell you the story of the fullness of what I have for your life. The Spirit cannot say anything beyond what he would say I would have said, because the Spirit and I are one." That's why I've said that the Spirit will come with this full revelation to make everything known to you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Trinity. Sound familiar? Trinity Baptist Church. This fullness of God that is so wonderful and dynamic that one name can't describe all of God and yet unified in his person. Today, when I'm sitting down with a family and talking about their family story, maybe it's something that's occurring within the family then, or maybe a family member had passed away, and we're telling stories, and someone in the family will say, "Well, I didn't know that, and really, is that how it happened? Or, gosh, I wish I would have known that then." And when we'll have a worship of celebration through a funeral service or memorial service, and others may say afterwards, "I wish I would have known that about the person when he or she was alive." We understand that the stories become more alive and real and connected, and we know something about that person that we didn't know before that we really want to lean into and get closer to it. Or another way of saying the same truth is that sometimes when Vicki, who grateful for her dynamic sermon last Sunday here, and then Debbie's at Crossings, that when Vicki will be leading a bus trip, a long bus trip, she'll have a series of games prepared. One of those games is two truths and one lie, in which a person will write out to say, "Here are three statements that I'm making. Two of them are true. One of them is not true." And everybody on the bus takes a vote of which they think is true or a lie. Let me just tell you, we've got some really good story makers in our different church. Okay. And as a way of getting to know each other in a different way, getting some of these, this story of one's life that we didn't know beforehand. And the Holy Spirit is that untold, under-presented presence of God in our lives that is a believer in Christ. That is that the Spirit was there in the creation, the Genesis 1-2. The Spirit is there as we accept Jesus as our Savior and follow Him as Lord. It's the Spirit who's with us. But as we learn more about the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit may have more power in our life. So the Spirit gives a witness, as Jesus was speaking in John 15. We find that yielding to the Spirit by the abiding presence of Christ Jesus answers three questions. Who are we? What are we to do? And how are we to do it? We find these answers by listening to the Spirit and having the Spirit updated in our life. It becomes personal. All those of you who are alive, like me, 50 years ago, you can remember where you were and what you were doing. One of my friends said she was only two years old, but her parents picked her up out of bed, put her on a pillow in front of the black and white TV set, just so to say that someday she'd be able to say she watched the landing on the moon. The sense of knowing where we were. For Vicky and me, that's pretty easy. I'd asked her out on our first date. We were freshmen in high school. We went from Bernie, Texas, down Broadway here in San Antonio to the old Broadway Theater where the sign still stands, but it's no longer a movie theater. I even remember the movie that we saw, though I was really thinking about the person who was sitting to my left during the movie. We went back and then we watched the landing of the moon. It's a time of huge historical importance, but with a personal memory that's connected to it. And so it is that God wants us to step into the full history of His love and mission in our life and becomes personal as we allow then Him to do that personal update with us in the experiences of our life. So Jesus said it this way, verse 5, this is who we are. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branch. Just as Debbie did well in the children's sermon to communicate that when a branch breaks off from a tree, the branch can no longer live because it's not connected to the source of its life from which all the nourishment comes. And yet when it's connected to the source of the tree, that branch can continue to grow and produce leaves or fruit. So Jesus said, I am this living presence, and as you step in and trust your life with me, so it is that I will nourish you. And said, I am the source, the lifeline that's being connected, this vine. Now he just then describes, asks the question, are you connected? Are you connected in understanding that who you are has to be understood by who Christ is within your life? And he put it another way. That every branch that does not bear fruit then trims and cleans it so it will become more fruitful. That God's loving grace cleans us up and trims us because the gardener's expert hands are trimming us. Jesus describes that God the Father is like the gardener who trims the branches of the vine and allows then the branches to be kept in their best condition so they can be most effective in living their best life. This understanding then is means how we do it is by the sense of staying connected of God's place and purpose within our life. Our youth did a wonderful job on our mission trip to Honduras. The sense of telling the story of Christ and the fullness of the Spirit and song, connecting with the students in 12 different school scenes and visiting with them personally and then song and then prayer, telling their personal testimony. By making it connecting in relationships, the story of Christ became alive within those school settings. They were bearing fruit. They were communicating to the Northern Honduras, that because of their living relationship with Christ, then they're on a mission. And the mission is to be able to share this love of Christ with everyone, as well as what we can do and learn from the Hondurans who had so much to teach us. That wherever you go, to the post office, to HEB, to the bank, to your place of work, to the kitchen of your home, know that you're on a mission, the mission of God's Spirit being with you, that you may be able to produce a kind of love while you are living your life where you are. So Jesus goes on in the conversation. This is a conversation that begins with kind of the big picture, and it's going to take us into the invitation to really be the friends of Christ. It means as we step further and further into this conversation of Jesus, and at every step along the way, we say, yes, 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 then we get closer to what that meaning is. I think how different my life would be if I had asked Vicki for that date 50 years ago yesterday, and if she had said no, where we wouldn't have gone anywhere else in our relationship. But along the way of the relationship, it's continued to let it go deeper and grow and have its kind of joyful application in our life, becoming more and more fruitful and doing a lot of trimming in our lives so that that love may nourish and grow. The life of the church is this community, a community of people who have been caught up within the Spirit, and that we together are asking for the Lord to trim us and to clean us, to be able that we will abide with Him and help each other to abide within Him. What do we do then? Well, in verse 7, Jesus says that you can abide in me, and then you can ask, and it will be given to you. That as we live in Christ, we're strengthened by His purifying presence. So the question Jesus asks is, are you abiding? Are you abiding in the Spirit and abiding in His presence? Did you notice that when we answered after Joe and Maureen read our scripture, we answered with the Word of God for the people of God, and we said what? Yeah. Jesus said in John 15:3 to the people with whom He was talking, these apostles and close friends of disciples, He was saying, now you are already cleansed because I have spoken my word to you. You've already let yourself be shaped by my words. Give thanks to the gardener for that effect. When we are saying thanks to the word that has been read to us or the songs that we have sung, the Holy Spirit is actually updating our life. It's cleansing our life. Just as you may take out your smartphone and you push on the update of the systems in your phone, and then it's absolutely up to date. And so God does that through the power of His Spirit, by something that had happened before. You know, in the moonwalk, the smartphones are a result of the space inventions that came out of the 1960s. CAT scans come out of the invention of the space research of the 1960s. When you're in a Texas San Antonio summer heat and you pull out that kind of folded foil that you have in the car, your car, and you put it on your front window so you're not baked like an oven when you get back in your car after you've been out and about, well, you can give thanks to the research from the 1960s prep for the moonwalk. It's a sense of what this ongoing work in life does that provides into us. Now, on our journey to Honduras, on behalf of all of you and each of us together, we were there to give, and we also received. We were there to give to two sustainable partners, the Mount Horeb Baptist Church, and that Judd had had a relationship with, and they're doing dynamic work in Honduras, and then also the Living Waters Ranch, Children's Ranch, that we as a church helped to begin in its early days. We built a building there. We were there with the founder. Some of you have been on an earlier mission trip to Honduras. And some of us were able to go back to the ranch and to kind of see the scene there. And there's a picture of the woman in the center and to the right. Her name is Jennifer. She grew up in San Antonio, Texas. She's a graduate of Churchill High School. At age 21, the Spirit of God spoke to her, graduating from college. She was to do a different kind of mission with her life. She didn't know where it was or where it would lead, but it led to a conversation with Teresa Devlin, who'd been on our campus. I mean, with the relationship with Teresa, that Teresa reached out to her, and they had a talk, and so Jennifer said that she would be willing to go to Honduras for a year, study with Teresa, so that Teresa could transition out from being the leader of the Living Waters Children's Ranch. But Teresa had a disease that she knew that was one day would take her life, but she thought she had more time to live. Jennifer had a sense of the Spirit's prompting that she wouldn't have much time. And so Teresa Devlin, the founder, died 11 days after a 21-year-old, recent college graduate, went to Honduras to speak in a language that she didn't already know, to be with a people she didn't know. And so what would she do? She leaned into the Spirit. She trusted the Spirit. She was in the city of La Ceiba, where we were, and she learned the language. She taught in the school and then went to just south of there to pick up the work of this children's school in order to help children to know the power of God's love and the skills needed to survive and thrive in our 21st century world. Now, if Jennifer had said no, there would be no one leading at the children's ranch now. But she said, yes, the Spirit led her. And the sense of being more fruitful for our life always comes with that great yes. And some of the children who entered in as orphans, they've adopted 7 into their own family because she's married a Honduran. And the sense of building that with the family of their adoption and then the schools of the children in this poor area, they know there truly is a living water in Christ. The sense of asking God, what do you want from me? Really? I can't do it on my own. God says, exactly right. You can only do it through me, to let me be your abiding strength. Which then Jesus, realizing he had everyone's attention, he then moved him to verse 10. And he said, now, if you obey my word, you will get stronger. My commands will remain in you. You'll be trimmed and cleaned by doing in love what God has showed you to be the most important, and are you obeying? I've shared with some of you the story of when almost 11 years ago next month, when I began the conversation with the pastor search team from here at Trinity, I was in my office in St. Matthew's Baptist Church in Louisville, talking on the telephone, and hung up from a telephone conversation with the search team. And the Spirit said to me, Leslie, this is your call. Stay in the conversation. But know this, I will prune you so that you can be most effective. Now, I'm not someone who's just jumped at the volunteer movement of saying, prune me, trim me, trim me. It just feels painful. Just thinks about it. And yet to discover that when we are willing to be shaped and formed, and that it feels actually good. You know, like when you're supposed to exercise and you count 100 reasons why you shouldn't get out there and exercise. But after the first 5 minutes, you're saying, I'm really glad I'm doing this. You kind of step into a rhythm of the great yes. And so as the Lord shaped that in my heart and the understanding of the call, it's the understanding that God is continuing to form and fashion me and fashion us in the work which he has for us to do to be more faithful. And God says, I'm going to reward you with that, with the joy. The joy that is a part of our life, it's a sign of the fruit of the Spirit. It's the joy that is a sign of our absolute delight in what God is doing in our world and our lives. It's a joy that answers to our grief. It's the joy that Jesus would say that a mother feels after giving birth to the child and feeling the labor pains of giving birth to a child, then she feels the joy. So that my joy may be in you, that it may be complete, in verse 11. That God's joy is the richest expression of his indwelling presence. As I'm able to be with families when a newborn has just entered the world, there's a natural joy that here's a miracle that the parents or brothers and sisters are able to be a part of, and grandparents and the church family. Wow, here's new life. If someone comes to faith in Jesus Christ, it's like, wow, new life. As one continues to grow in the ways of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's wow, that's new life. And as someone is about to die and leave this world, knowing that resurrection is the very step that they're taking into, there's a sense of joy and a peace of what is to come. And we are to continue to grow in the joy throughout our life. A part of why we have the 2 sustainable partners in Honduras is because there's a lot of controversy and the ache and the hurt in America about why so many people are coming to the borders of Mexico and Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and California. And because there's a lot of pain going on in Central American countries or other locations as well. What we can do about that, there are things that we can do and we are doing. So the Living Waters Children's Ranch is providing a way to win in life through the grace of God in a very poor area by saying you don't have to leave here to find your place. We will help you build your place here. Or the Mount Hor Baptist Church in La Ceiba doing the very same thing. I talked with both Pastor Jorge and Jennifer and Darwin about this trend that's been happening and the ache behind it and that it's their call. Let me share a story about these children. These are stories of children who live in a part of this city of La Ceiba, and they live in very simple homes, shall we say, on land that they don't have a permit to live there. meaning at any time the government can come and tell them you can't live here and they would have no place to live. So what would our sustainable partner do there in La Ceiba? Well, there was a 65-year-old woman by the name of Rosario, who the Spirit told her, I want you to reach out in a children's ministry there, and the church became a part of that. So on a Sunday afternoon, we were able to join in to that joyful work, being right next to the homes where the children were coming from, in the sense of being there in the presence of a five-year work in ministry, because a now 70-year-old woman said, this is God's call for me to be fruitful, listening to the Spirit and at work. And when you look at Rosario's face and you look at the other leader's face and you look at the boys and the girls, what you see is the look of love and joy. Because Jesus said in John 15:12, love each other as I have loved you. When in doubt and you don't know what to do in a relationship, love. Love allows the branches of the vine to thrive. And that the most loving act of God trimming our lives is indeed an act of love on His part, that we can then help others experience the fruit and the joy of their life if they experience love coming from our life into their lives. A sign of the Holy Spirit at work is the sign of love. So Jesus asked the question, are you loving? Now, Jesus says, as He brings His conversation to its crescendo, I have called you servants before, even slaves. I've called you as people that I was telling you what to do and you were to go do it. But as you lean into me and you abide in me and you let me through the Spirit empower you, you're no longer just servants. You have actually become friends. Because you share in the passion of the mission. It's the way you define who you are. It's the very reason that you can become my friends by gladly participating in the fulfillment. And so Jesus asked the question, are you His friend? Are you a friend that in your heart you have said the great yes to His being your Savior and Lord? But as you abide in Him, have you said the great yes to be in His work? Judd Wisely had us on the first day of our arrival in Honduras to spend a day for youth and adults from Trinity Baptist with youth and leaders of the Baptist church there. And we hung out on Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon. We played games and sang songs. Judd brought a devotion. We ate hot dogs together. How American can you get? At the end of the time, we were no longer strangers to each other because we have been abiding with each other. We've been catching up and learning and stumbling with our Spanglish and letting the sense, well, at the end of the day, we took this group photo. The sense of being able to stand together that then would be a basis for the work that we would do for the days that would come. And that work continues on there now. That's why it's sustainable. That's why it's part of God's ongoing Holy Spirit work with us as well as there. Now, you notice Jesus began with the image about the vine. The vine produces the grapes, and grapes produces wine. And so Jesus was saying to the disciples in his last hours to be with them in the upper room, I am the vine that produces. And this will produce a covenant with you of my bread and my blood, the gift of dwelling with me and communion that we are now prepared for as part of the gift of sharing in together as our deacons come forward. Jesus took the bread, He blessed it, broke it, and then He gave it. Jesus is a giver, the Messiah, The Spirit comes to give counsel and comfort and confront us with truth and commission us to do the work of the bread. With joy, in the midst of knowing what would come would be his crucifixion within hours, but he felt the joy. Because he felt the joy of a love and purpose of salvation that would be accomplished by his life, death, and resurrection. He felt the joy of the Spirit continuing to give that witness of his resurrection. Take and eat in remembrance of him. Then as he poured into the cup, he lifted up the cup and he said, "Now this is my blood, which is given for you." The kind of gift that is life-giving, the kind of gift which we take as a sign of his presence.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.